Will you pray with me? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Whom do you remember? And how have they changed you? Memorial Day has changed a lot over the years in America, hasn't it? Honestly, for me, it's been mostly about the end of school, the beginning of summer, the first long weekend with the chance to get away. That's what Corey did. But since he didn't take us with him this year, you and I are left to look a little deeper. As the flags outside remind us, Memorial Day started, of course, after the Civil War as a way to remember those who lost their lives fighting our country. So still, we decorate graves, we have parades. It happens all over America this weekend, and that's good. It's broadened over the years, though. So now it seems really a little bit more like All Saints Day. Not just a military holiday, but a time to remember all of those that you and I have loved and lost. Those who've touched your life or mine across the years. And since it happens to fall this weekend along with Ascension Day, let's conflate those two ideas and spend a few minutes with that little group of disciples Jesus summarily abandons that day in Jerusalem. And let's see what you and I can learn from them. First, he tells them, remember. Remembering's a good thing. Jesus didn't just get on the first celestial bus out of town after the resurrection. He stuck around a while. And he used that time to drive home once again the lessons he had already spent 3 years teaching them. Not to mention that biggest lesson of all, that he really is alive. You and I tend to think about stories like the story of Ascension Day, though, as bigger than life, IMAX scale somehow, impossible, completely outside our experience. We see those paintings of Jesus rising in the clouds with his feet dangling in midair. And if you're like me at all, you tend to think things like, wow, that's a really neat special effect. Wonder how they did that. Wonder if his sandals were dirty as he rose. When we think about it that way, though, we take it completely outside real life. We do just the opposite of what I think Jesus intended that day. I think he wanted us to remember what he had done. He wanted the disciples to remember what they had learned from him. Take a moment now and think about the men and women who have been important in your life. The people that you've learned from. Me, I remember Grandma Noni. Ancient, arthritic, nearly blind, but she hobbled into the little church I grew up in every Sunday morning of the world with a huge smile on her face. And even when I was a teenager, she treated me as though I mattered. It was Grandma Noni who called me to the ministry one Sunday night when I was 15. She walked up to me and said, "Ronnie?" Yeah, they call me that. "Ronnie, God has something for you to do." Scared the daylights out of me. It was years before I answered, but I never forgot what she said. I remember Henley Barnett. He taught ethics at the seminary I attended. And as a young professor, long before I knew him, in Alabama in 1947, he helped start the Interracial Baptist Pastors Conference in Birmingham. That was a time when interracial and Baptist weren't usually spoken in the same sentence. He taught me the best definition of agape love I ever heard. Agape love, he said, Christian love, means to will and to work for the well-being of others. Not emotions, not feelings, not sloppy agape. To will and to work for the well-being of others. He also taught me that being a Christian in the world today is about seeing what needs to be done, figuring out what you can do, what the most loving thing is in each circumstance, and then getting on with it. Mostly he taught me that because that was what he did. I got to watch him for a while. He became one of my heroes. Whom, though, do you remember? Do you have a hero in the faith? Somebody whose Christian life has modeled what it means to be a believer for you? Someone you look to as a role model? Maybe for you it's a pastor. From what we've seen and heard these past months, ours is a very good one indeed. Or maybe for you it's a family member. Your mom or your dad or a grandparent. Whom do you remember? Or is it someone at school or at work or even one of the great heroes of the faith, a Mother Teresa or a Thomas Merton? For most of us, I think, our most effective heroes are very close to home. A man or a woman you or I get a chance to watch just going about the business of life. The problem they had on Ascension Day, you see, was they didn't have that many heroes yet. Nobody had ever before in the history of the world been asked to do what Jesus just asked them to do on his way out of town. Think about it. He dies on a cross. He has the unmitigated audacity not to stay dead. He comes back, but he's different now. The Galilean teacher is still recognizable. It's still the same Jesus, but now he appears and disappears. Now he's even more alive somehow. He eats, but he doesn't need to. His wounds are there, but they can't hurt him anymore. And he tells the disciples to tell everybody his story. And then he quite literally flies off and leaves them staring up with their mouths open. No wonder they stand there gaping. What in the world do you do after all that? What in the world do you do? Part of what they did, of course, was to tell the stories. You and I forget that the New Testament didn't start out as onion skin pages with way too tiny print bound in faux leather. It started out as the stories those men and women he left standing there told each other about Jesus. It started with remembering. But it didn't stop there. This last earthly encounter with Jesus in our series of encounters this spring brings in some extra players. As Jesus is leaving town, the head office gets involved. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? You know what you need to know. Now do what you need to do." The angels never do have much patience with our human hesitation. In effect, what Scripture is telling us here is that Jesus himself believed he was leaving us with everything you and I need to know in order to be his faithful followers until he comes again. The angels gave the disciples that little kickstart on Ascension Day as a way of reminding us all that memories are fine. We celebrate them. But memories never substitute for living real life right now when it needs to be lived. Of course, it's more complicated than we thought it would be. Where have we heard that line recently? It's more complicated because reality is always complicated. And it's more complicated precisely because Jesus never intended to leave us a set of rigid rules. He kept his commandments to a minimum. Love God with all you've got, and love other people like you love yourself. Beyond that, he told us stories. This is what heaven is like. There was a rich man eating dinner. There was a beggar by the side of the road. There was a woman who lost a coin. And when we've been at our best, the church has told stories too. The truth is, though, that makes you and me uncomfortable sometimes. There's that in us that really wants the rules. The church has spent 2,000 years and forests of paper trying to codify it and write it all down and make it as precise as a North Korean military parade. Do this, don't do that. It never works. You have to look to Jesus in every situation. You have to remember. I told you about my hero, Henley Barnett, getting involved in civil rights in Alabama at the beginning of his career as a professor. 15 years later, in Kentucky, in the midst of the unrest of the 1960s, he invited the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to speak in chapel at the seminary and almost got himself fired in the process. And he went on to march for civil rights and to oppose the Vietnam War and to champion ecology and oppose nuclear proliferation and support gender equality, and on and on and on till he died in his 90s just a few years ago. He did all that not because he was following clear rules, but because he remembered Jesus telling him to love. And he just always did the next loving thing he thought Jesus would want him to do. Willing and working for the well-being of others. It really is more complicated than we thought it would be, you see. Simplistic rules and easy answers just don't work where you and I live. When your kid comes and asks you for a tattoo, You can try quoting Leviticus 19:28 if you want to. It really is in there. But you know before you open your mouth, that's not going to work. And Fort Collins parents can tell our kids marijuana is not a good idea for Christians, even though it's legal now, if we want to. But that's not even in Leviticus. And we'd better think really carefully before we speak. And you better not even start the conversation in the same room with the liquor cabinet. So exactly what this Ascension Day and this first week of summer 2017 do you and I do? We listen to those angels. We stop standing on street corners, even this street corner, gazing into heaven. We stop focusing on why Jesus isn't still here or isn't back yet. We stop looking for easy answers because he deliberately didn't leave us any. We remember all the things he showed us and taught us and did himself and told us to do while he was gone. We remember those examples that every one of us has, if we think about it, of people who've done life well, and we get on with it. I can't say exactly what that means for you this week. I'm way too busy with my own list. But maybe you really do need to know more about what he said and did. That's what this is for. Maybe you already know the basics. So maybe you're dealing with a problem at work this week. What does it mean in your office to love others as much as you love yourself? What does that mean this week in your family? What does it mean in your party's position on health care? What does it mean to the mission of our church here on the Northern Front Range as we tell the story of Jesus and the way he wanted us to live, as we struggle for affordable housing for all and watch our own tax assessments go up, as we work to protect this God-given beauty we live with every morning? My sisters and brothers, don't just stand here looking toward heaven. Jesus says you've already got the answers you need. Remember and get on with it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.